If you would, in the book of Ecclesiastes, where we have been, keeping in mind the essential understanding that the Hebrew mind looks to God and then looks at all of God's creation and seeks to understand creation, everything in and around and about them, seeks to understand it from the standpoint of looking at God who created it, who allowed it. God created good and evil, trouble. God allowed it all. So if we're going to understand on planet Earth, we have to start with God, in the beginning God. The Gentile mind doesn't start with God. The Gentile mind comes into the world and looks around and tries to figure out, who are we, why are we here, where are we going, what's going on, and always seeking to advance to try to somehow make life a better, tolerable, workable, acceptable, satisfactory, etc. And it does that. And the struggle is there. So when we're looking at Ecclesiastes, we have a Hebrew, Solomon, giving us the wonderful, wonderful perspective of looking at it from God's point of view and man's point of view, and thus understanding why the world doesn't want to see it from God's point of view. The world does not want to see objectively their person and their world. They don't want to see that. Because, apart from God, it's sheer tragedy, futility. Apart from God, there's nothing. And that's what it's about. Now, having said that, you need to see that, because this is the world busy trying to make, maybe I'll have a better week, a better this, more of that. That's our world. So, now, having said that, remember that the actual world is not easily accounted for. Things cannot be easily explained to the comfort of a person, to the satisfaction of a person, apart from God. How do we explain sin, evil, the devil, error? Wrong. How do we explain anything? We can't explain it. We have no explanation for it whatsoever. So here in Ecclesiastes 7, you may want to just go over there a moment again. And keeping in mind, so you have it fresh up front, 7 and 13, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. So everything cancels out. We have one good and then bad. You can't keep having good, and you don't keep having bad. Verse 15, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his days, his life in his wickedness. So here's a person living, the good guy dies, and the bad guy lives. The bad seems to prevail, and the good seems to fail. Back over one other place, Ecclesiastes the end, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And keeping in mind now, the bottom line, Solomon, are you going to have it? Yes, he does. To keep a real and right relationship to God. And so when you're all done, Solomon, I'm going to give you, Solomon says, the conclusion. Verse 12, and further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making of many books there is no end, And much study is a wearisomeness of the flesh. There's no end. We keep learning and seeing and understanding, and then we learn and see and understand what we didn't understand, what we thought we understood, and just on and on and on and on. When do you get a break? Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And God, for God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So when you're all done, you're going to have to get to God. If you don't get to God, if you don't have a real and right relationship to God, then the person is looking at planet Earth, and when they're all done, they aren't going to have. They bring nothing in. They take nothing out. Wow. Thus, chapter Ecclesiastes 1, again speaking the great challenge now, the challenge to answer. Ecclesiastes 1, remember, everything is vanity, vanity, chasing the wind. When you're all done, you breathe a breath of air, and it's all gone. And the breath of air that you breathed is of no use to you at all, practically speaking. You let it go. You don't chase the air you release. Normally, you let it go. Now, what? The challenge, the question. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? What profit is there? What advantage is there under the sun? Remember, we share together in looking, all of it is looking at planet Earth, looking at creation from under the sun, or looking at it from human with no relationship, no understanding to God, no connection to God, just looking at life as it is, as objectively as you can. Now, and the Hebrew, remember, sees, is looking at life. What do we see? What do we really see? And remember now, the unsaved heart doesn't really want to think about these things, doesn't want to do it. So, verse 4, the illustration of things as they really are. Vanity, vanity, there's no advantage. Now you see it, now you don't. Now you seem to have it, and now you don't. All is as a breath of air. We pursue possessions, we seek to possess, we seek to understand, and everything we seek to possess and seek to understand never satisfies. It just doesn't do it. The enjoyment of things as they actually are, things as they truly, truly are, is not to be found. One reason is not being able to solve the realities in which they are. The realities of life are unsolvable apart from God. We have no way to put them together. Our existence, how do you answer that? How do you answer a human existence apart from God? Evolution doesn't do it. Evolution's a silly thing, actually. A silly attempt, and anyone that thinks about it will say it's silly. And I never met an evolutionist that believed he came from a believe. I never met one. Now, you may have them back yesterday. I never met an evolutionist that believed. He was actually from a monkey or from a leaf. I never believed it. I never met anybody. Did you? Do you ever meet him? Actually, when you pin him down, put him in a corner. Do you really believe you're just an overgrown leaf, make-believe? And your mother and father were twigs. Is that what I never met anyone like that. We talk it, but we don't intend to do anything with it except to protect ourselves like a shield. Now, having said that, verse 4, you'll please note, remember now, we're looking now at we take all our real experiences, we want to see life as it really is, and God's going to help us by way of Solomon to see our existence, to see how our existence works and doesn't work, to see our energy in action, to see our efforts in action, effort, energy, our experiences, how do they all come together? How do they all work? And the repeat, we repeat energy, existence, effort, experiences, we repeat them over and over again. What is the advantage? What have we truly gained? What have we come to find? There is no forgiveness. There is no rhyme or reason. There is no escape from death, the grave. There's no escape. There's no way out. So, 1:4, one generation passes away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. So man comes and man goes, and each one failing to rightly experience, to rightly enjoy their temporal existence. Humans, by the billions, repeat over and over and over again the same mistakes, the same failures. Hegel, you know, the historian, we learn, quote, you know this, we learn from history that we learn nothing from history. We learn nothing from history. It's just the way it is. We don't pay attention. We don't want to pay attention to history. History is very sobering. And only the historian, he's looking at it, he would tell you, a good historian will tell you what's going on and why it's going on within a human realm. But no one wants to listen to historians, you know. They don't want to do that. We would rather have global warming. We'd rather have greenhouse gases. We'd rather have the ozone hole opening or closing, depending on your deodorant, you know. Wow. See? We just don't want to do that. So, one generation rises up, another generation disappears. And the earth just keeps right on going. As the leaves perish on a tree, and another set of leaves springs forth. And so flesh and blood comes on earth, and flesh and blood disappears. One person after another, over and over and over again. So, verse 5, the sun, earth's rotation, the sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down and hasteneth to his place where he arose. And so here's the earth rising. The sun rises, as it were, and around the earth. The sun sets. The sun goes around, as it were. We, as far as the earth goes, we're sitting and we're going around the sun, but here we are. And going around and around. And where passengers were carried on planet Earth, going over 1,000 miles an hour in a circle, and going over 66,000 miles fast in distance. And here we are traveling. We're passengers on planet Earth that picks us up and then drops us off. Here we are on it, and then we're off of it, you know. And so here's Earth, verse 5. And you'll notice, please, in verse 5, it hasteneth, panteth of exhaustion, like the snorting of animals having to get up in them and then run and then go down. The sun rises up and the sun goes down, and the sun rises up in the east and sets in the west, and boom, it goes around and around, and that's what it does. And we say there's a beautiful sunset, right? Isn't it? Beautiful sunset. Right? And then what? Darkness. The sunset what? Is what? Gone. Gone. Beautiful, beautiful. Hang on. All gone. All gone. Now, in the light of that, verse 6, we have the wind, and the wind goes toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. Remember the heat, the cold, heat in one time turns it one way, and the cold turns it the other way, and the wind. And the wind goes toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. So the wind goes to the south and goes around to the north, around and around. It's a participle. It just keeps going and going and going, circling and circling. The wind just keeps circling on its circuits. The wind returns. Again, participle just keeps going and coming and going. The series of an endless, wearisome repetition. The wind coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. The wind just keeps doing that. Wind, why don't we see something? Well, we don't see it. We don't see it. It just, the wind just happened. The wind. The earth keeps spinning and we disappear. The wind keeps blowing and we're all gone. The wind stays. The wind stays. Wind stays. We go. Wow. Now, having said the wind stays and we go, picking up, if I can, with that in mind, in verse 7. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. So here are the rivers, the streams, the great Nile, the Amazon, the Mississippi, and all the rivers of the world run and flow into the ocean. Connecticut flowing down from Canada down into the ocean. Wow. And it flows away. All the rivers run into the sea. And here they run, and they travel. They travel. The sea isn't full. The sea isn't full. They keep on running. They don't stop. They just keep going and going and going. The streams flow. Again, participle. They don't stop. And they go again. And the sun and the heat causes evaporation. And the air and the clouds and the rain. And it just keeps repeating itself and repeating itself. They say, I don't know how you'd figure it, but they make many things, you know, 16 million tons of moisture fall to the earth every second. 16 million tons. I think that's 900 and something million tons of rain every minute fall on earth. Now, that's a lot of rain. You have to say it's a lot of rain. Wouldn't you say it's a lot of rain? What happens if it all rained like that here? You know, let's see. That's a lot of rain. That's right. But nothing fills up. You would think it would fill up. No, it doesn't fill up. It just keeps doing it. Keeps doing it. Monotonous. And here we are on planet Earth, and all of that keeps going and going and going and going. And so we come to verse 8. In verse 8, all things are full of labor. All things are full of labor. The eye and the ear are going to groan. They're going to groan. We cannot utter it. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, the ear, nor the ear filled with hearing. In other words, it just keeps groaning and groaning away. All things just are full of labor. Labor wearisome. They just keep going and going and going. And the whole thing just keeps repeating itself. Exhaustion, tiresome to think about it over and over. If you think about it, who wants to think about that? Things of water goes up and water comes down and rivers run and they never run out. And the wind blows and the wind blows and every sun shines and the earth spins. It isn't very profitable to think about it. It doesn't seem to leave us any place. That's right. It doesn't leave us any place. So the eye and the ear looking and the wearisome of the whole universe, its seeming uselessness, its monotonous activity, and all things fail to follow through. There's no joy. There's no joy. We find letdowns. We get let down. And things that we think would help us are less than we anticipate. Everything that we think is so good is actually less than we anticipate. And it isn't very long you find it out. That's true with anything, children, whatever. They're there, but then they're less than what we thought. And you only need a little time on earth. And you find out they aren't quite that. Nothing's quite what we wanted it to be, looked for it to be. It just doesn't measure up. Look with me, hold your finger here a moment, and go over with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. And in the book of Romans, in chapter 8, oh, may I pick up the thought if I can, in verse 22, directly. For we know that this is in the light of sin. I'll read verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So we're looking around in the world, trying to figure it all out. The world is. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. What are they looking for? The world, the monotony, the uselessness of all of it longs to be useful, longs to have the advantage God intended it. But sin does its job, and the whole universe just keeps going and going. It groans till it can get relieved, free. But it can't be until redemption, God finishes with believers. God must finish. And then there is a new heaven and a new earth. And everything in the new heaven and new earth isn't like this one. Isn't like this. You don't have a lot of stars. No stars that I know of. No dogs or cats either. Don't have any. Just have wonderful light. Wonderful perfect light. Wonderful perfect life. But it isn't like this. The whole universe is groaning, God said, waiting to get rescued. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Now remember, here everything is moving in a consistent circle. And all things, as we had in verse 8, are full of labor. Labor has to do with that which is exhausting, tiresome, feeble. What is gained by work, what is gained by effort. And the eye looks, and the eye isn't satisfied, and the ear isn't satisfied. All things, the meaning of all words, all human words, all human speech is wearisome when you're all done. All the words to explain the meaninglessness arounds the meaningless rounds of nature. It just goes around and around and around, and we try to explain it, and then we don't explain it. We don't even want to think about it. We want to think about Mars, some other place that we can, maybe that's different, maybe that has some life on it, maybe there's some, because we don't want to really concentrate on the realities, objectively, of planet Earth. It just doesn't satisfy. The eye isn't satisfied, verse 8, and the ear isn't. Having filled the ear with all the words and hearing all the statements and hearing all the analysis, when you're all done, man cannot utter, verse 8. He cannot utter it. He has no way to put it together. He has no way to put the words in order, to put the words in a row to give it meaning. All things cannot be in the process of speaking. All things cannot be in the process of speaking ever come out right. Our words just are totally inadequate. And we have that when we come to God. We're trying to explain God, and we try to say God is infinite, which is a word, no beginning, no end, etc. And we use the word, but infinite isn't even a good word. We say God is all-powerful, but we don't have a word. He is abundant. He is magnificent. He is awesome. When we're all done with words, we don't have any words. We don't have any language. We use language, but we don't have a language. It's all greater, more than, other than what we can even understand. So here if I can, in the light of that, going over to verse 9. All things that hath been, it is that that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. All things move in a constant cycle. They leave mankind with no answers, verses 4 through 8, no answers. Mankind is left with no answers, and nothing is changing. Nothing is advancing. The cycles just keep going. Then nothing is improving. The repetition of things, events, works just keeps going and going and going. And interestingly enough, you don't have to worry about planet Earth losing, getting out of place. That's what you have to understand. Man will try, man's causing whatever, and you got a whole lot of turmoil on that, warming and all of that. I think I would just stay cool when it's hot, and when it's cool, get warm. And that's what I'd say. And relax. Because that isn't true. Who said it isn't true? God said it isn't true. And those that are with it will say it isn't true. It's a silly thing, actually. But we're doing it. We're doing it. Why? Because it gives us some objective, some goal to focus on. To focus on something that will improve conditions. To give us some hope that somehow the future will be more trees. Yes. Save ourselves.
That's what he used for his global warming get-together.
Oh, save ourselves? Well, I can't save the trees then. Whale, porpoise, no. Save ourselves. That's that little thing we put in back, on the church thing, Church hoppers, It's a do your own thing generation. Everyone do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. That's our world. And it was well done. Well done, I got to tell you. No question. Now, in the light of that, verse 9. All things that have been, nothing is new. Nothing new happens. Experience is nothing but repetition. And repetition, when understood, becomes dull and boring. There is nothing new in life. Nothing new in life is produced by people. What has been, verse 9, and what has been and what will be. The past is going to be repeated again and again and again. No matter how you modernize anything, you have the same past. No matter how you medically do whatever, you have the same humans. You can go back to Nero. Nero was no different than you are. True? Nero was no different. And Tiller the Hun, was he any different than you, apart from his activity? No, he wasn't any different than you. They're all the same. They're all the same. See, and we're trying to make it. Make work, homeschool, play, health, wealth, make it all come out better. And we're missing the whole point. We missed the whole point. Make my life more better. My life better. And you're missing the whole point. God makes your life. If I just have a better job, a better marriage, a better food, a better. So we're going to do that in a sec, better. And so here we are in verse 9. What has been and what will be, and what has been done, and what will be done. So mankind, actions, there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. Look with me in chapter 3, verse 15, just to say that a little differently. Chapter 3 and verse 15, that which hath been is now. is now. The wind that went 500 years ago, blowing today. I mean, be of good cheer. Verse 15, that which has been now and that which is to be hath already been. See, it already is. Whatever's coming already has been around, right? Go around, come around, come around again. God requireth that which is past. And so here back over to chapter 1 and in verse 9. There's nothing new, nothing new at all. The Son is a witness. The Son bears witness. There's nothing new at all. Mankind's bad, faulty, neglected memory fails to learn, fails to pay attention to history, to the past, fails to be interested in enough to learn from the family's past history. Do you really want to know about your family's past history? Well, then you're going to study your family's past history and you say, well, thus and thus and thus and thus and thus, you know. And you could do that. You could do that, your past history, but where is that going to go? I'm going to give you something. Don't misuse it, please. In Gloucester, you know, there's the fisherman with a wheel. With a wheel. There is a fisherman with a wheel. And he's looking out in the ocean, you know. It's a monument to the fisherman. 1623 and forward. I have over 100 of my relatives that are on that sheet, on that board. They're all my relatives. Over 100 of them. That's why I don't go in the water, because I mean, you'd understand. I mean, it's the percentage is bad. Bad, bad percentage. Bad percentage. And then my sister just reminded me, because she wants me to go check something out, that my relatives were all involved with Jonathan Edwards and the Great Revival. And they're all listed all over the place in churches. They were running, they were part of the Great Revival. And that was something that was. But it isn't anymore. And it doesn't make a hill of difference. Doesn't make a bit of difference, does it? Not a bit of difference. None of it. So we're looking back and trying to find something and bring it forward. But when we bring it forward, we have nothing. We have nothing at all. And so our history, you want to learn, my history. Back to the illustration. They all died in the water, see. Well, if you want to know more of your history and really want to know it, you'd have all the genetic, heretic problems, right? And then you'd have a big list of what you can anticipate from your grandfather's grandfather, father, mother, that they've given you, right? And you're waiting for it to happen, right? You're waiting for it to occur. That's what you're doing. You're waiting for all of that. Do you want to know all about your past? Do you? No. We don't want to know. We don't want to know about our past. We don't want to think about it that much because it isn't a boy. It ceases to be pleasant, you see. Now, in the light of that, society isn't paying attention to the past. We're always looking to have an improvement. That's why we have the global mood movement to produce. Actually, it's going to produce. This global movement is going to produce, as you know, the great, and we're starting it tonight, great movement for the Antichrist. Great movement. It's going to bind us all together. But what's going to bind us? The computer world. You say there's all these different terrible things. That's right. But we're all seriously dependent on the computer world. And the computer world is running, isn't it? Running. Computer world is running all over the world. From any given point, they're able to manage all over the world at once within a second. That's why India does what it does. The Philippines do what they do. It's just marketing. It's just the way it is. Japan and China, enemies. But not, you can't be, because you have this interacting of the labor market, products, and it's all done with a system. The system controls it. So if you just hang on to that without even going very far, you can just begin to imagine where that's going to what? Go. You can see it, can't you? Law, business, banking. Wow. You see? Oh. That's all society. Society isn't paying attention. And history has a whole lot to say, but we don't listen to history. And thus we're going to keep repeating history. We keep looking for something new, something better. But there isn't anything, because we're all the same. And the world we live in, the environment we live in, doesn't change. It just takes us as a passenger and then drops us off and leaves us. And it keeps right on going. Wow. And so we're looking for man. Man looks, an eye, an ear, mind, looking out to get caught up in something new. But there just isn't anything new under the sun. There is nothing new. Nothing new. Just more of the same. More of the same. And all the laws that we can generate and exercise and understand in science, medicine, whatever it is, they're only laws that have always existed. Isn't that true? And all we did is learn how to use them. I mean, nothing new. You don't create a new law. You don't create something new. They're just old. And you're just using them, that's all. Using them in different ways. Wow. So, in the light of that, remember humans now, they are looking, trying to repeat the same ground over and over again. They just keep going over it, and nothing is gained. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, if I may. Chapter 8. And may I pick up, please, in verse 15. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor and the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. In other words, you can eat a given meal, you enjoy a given meal, and it's all gone. Once you chewed it up, it's all gone. And tomorrow you can have another meal. And that's what you're going to have to do. On planet Earth, you're going to have to just eat a little bit and drink a little bit and do what you do, because that's all you have to work with. Thus, better. Would you go with me, please, over to Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 15? Well, I'm here. And you'll notice, please, in chapter 2 and verse 15, Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me, the king. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. Here I am, with all given the gift of wisdom like no one else, and the other guy goes through the same thing I do. Am I more wise? Am I really more wise? Chapter 6. And in verse 8. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? What hath the wise more than folly, more than the fool? When you're all done, am I wiser? Well, wiser in what sense? I'm no better off than the other guy when it's all said and done. And here in verse 8, and you'll notice, for what hath the wise man more than the fool? What have we got? We don't. Verse 11, seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? The better, the more, the wiser? On whose perspective? On what value system? And in what kind of reality are we looking at? Are we looking at reality as it is? Chapter 7, verse 11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. There is profit. Profit? Well, what is the profit? Verse 16. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldst thou destroy thyself? Keep real. Don't be too smart and don't be too dumb. Pay attention to reality. Pay attention. There's no better. There's no gain. You don't go anywhere. You don't go anywhere. Realistically, you don't go anywhere without God. You don't go. So then stay with it. Stay with it. Read verse 16 again. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise, for why shouldst thou destroy thyself? Chapter 12, just showing you what's going to keep saying. You ought to learn something, he said. I want you to learn something from history, from reality. Chapter 12, verse 9. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. He set out, moreover, because we need to understand this. If we're going to put it together, we need to put all of it together, moreover. If we're going to, we don't want to be more wise, we aren't going to be the better unless we put this together. Verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished that you're making many books, there is no end, and much study is in weariness of the flesh. So I want to make sure you keep it all in focus. It is not advantage. It is not realistic to explain away. You don't have to go and explain away things. Don't explain them away. It is not necessary. It is not to explain away. Don't do it. It isn't realistic. It isn't necessary. Therefore, have a positive, healthy, realistic viewing of life as it really is. Look at life as it really is. And thus, if you would, over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 22. You want to see things as you don't want to, you want to learn something. Isaiah chapter 22 again. In Isaiah chapter 22, may I go please to verse 13. I'll read verse 12. In that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness, to girding with sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen, killing sheep, eating flesh, and drinking wine. We're doing all the stuff that we can do, taste-wise, otherwise, fun-wise. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. Now, and verse 14. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die. You're going to die. So when am I going to get loose and see it and have it? You're not. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. Saith the Lord God of hosts, you're going to die. Do you remember the other fellow? The other fellow came along, you know. There was another fellow that, a more modern view. Over to Luke, if you would. In Luke chapter 12, let me just tell you, we just read, eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. Now, you want to improve that, because that doesn't come out too good. Don't you want to improve that? Definitely have to improve it. So, here's this fellow with the made out good, great retirement, etc. Verse 18, he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, what are you going to say? Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, and stop. Right? Now, God said, listen, sir, you missed a part of it. You missed a part of it, so God is going to now add it. Verse 20. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Eat, drink, and be merry. And he didn't want to say, and die, because that, what kind of thought is that? Wonderful, I'm waiting to retire and die. How's that sound? I wonder how quick I can get to retire and die. Isn't that encouraging? Right? Eager. No, you don't want to say that. Eat, drink, and retire and play golf. God said, listen, let me add something, and die. Your soul shall be required of thee this night. And you brought nothing in, you'll take nothing out. And if all you've done is try to look at life this way, you have totally missed the boat. And the whole world around you is busy in pursuit of pleasure, work, home, life, making life wonderful. And it's all vanity. It's all for nothing. But who wants to ever say that? Couldn't you just see the evening news? I don't know who's there anymore. Rather out? Okay, well, here they are, there they are, and here they are, And here's what's going on. And the whole thing, Iraq, the world, all of it, apart from God, is useless. Can't you just hear him saying that? Right? They get a raise in pay. Anyway, hope you got a little bit. You're getting the idea. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful reality. Got to see reality. Wonderful reality. God said, I want to set you free. The truth will. And the word truth is the word reality. Reality.